How are you doing today? I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 37 this morning. I've been debating with myself for about an hour about how transparent I wanted to be this morning. And the Bible does tell us to walk in the light one with another. Yesterday evening, I came up here to try to prepare for today. And I try not to do that. I try to be prepared in advance. I don't have to be here on Saturday. But I came up here and sat down behind my desk. And I was just as empty as I've ever been in my life. I didn't have anything to say. Didn't have anything to give. And, you know, I don't know if those things happened to you, but I'll tell you they happened to me. And I'm just so glad that God is good. He's gracious. But I'm going to tell you also that last night I went home. Still with nothing. Just finally. There's no sense in me sitting here. I go home and sit. I went home. And I was praying. And it was just a dry time. And came back in and asking God still, you know, God, I got to stand up here and preach 4 or 5 hours. And I don't have anything to say. And I need you. I need some help. You know, it's one of those times when you know who you are and you know what you are and you know what you need to do. But, folks, this is a spiritual work. And apart from the Spirit of God, you can't do it. I mean, you go through the motions. Like I said, there's a pastor I knew who said, fake it till you make it. But, brother, I'm not good at that. You know? I want something from God because I want you to have something from God. And finally, it felt like there was a thawing in the Spirit and God was working. And you know, I realized that I was in some pretty good company. And folks, I want to start there this morning. If you've ever had time like that, you need to know you're in pretty good company. Amen. I recall that Moses had a time like that. David. Job. Paul. I was mindful of Charles Spurgeon. One of the greatest preachers that ever walked this earth. And yet, at the very height of his ministry, he would go through periods of very dark, very deep time, very, very dreary times, depression. Depression so debilitating that he could not preach. Sometimes it got so bad that he would leave the country. He would actually go on a holiday. He couldn't work, he couldn't study, it was just dark. And folks, you know, I believe God lets us do those things. He lets us pass through those times. Because it teaches us several things. Teaches some things about Him. Teaches some things about ourselves. Teaches us some things about those around us. And I just want to encourage you this morning to open your Bibles to Psalm 37. And let's see something about what God has to say about those times of difficulty. Those times of depression. Those times of discouragement. When it gets difficult. Amen. I want to read just 2 verses this morning and then we'll work with those. Verse number 23, the Bible says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Now, Father, bless the time that we have. And Lord, as you just spoke and encouraged my heart this morning, would you do the same for your people? We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to get my act together here in a second. And then I'll preach. Amen. Folks, I want you to see first in verse number 23 that it is God who orders our lives. I just can't help but imagine that, see the contrast between this week's message and last week's, you know. All that stomping and hollering, folks, there won't be much stomping and hollering today. You just have to stay awake, amen. But God directs our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He is the one who is directing our path. Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, how many of us think we're driving the boat? Huh? You know, I mean, that's pretty normal. I mean, we all want to be masters of our own destiny, controlling our fate, moving along the path that we have chosen for ourselves. But folks, that's just not the way it is. That's just not the way it is. You know, we think we're driving the boat and we'll figure out what we'll do and where we'll go and how we'll live. And the Bible says a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Dear saint, dearly beloved of God, how in the world are you going to match up with God? I mean, how is it that we think that we can control things? Proverbs 20, verse 24, it says, "A man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" It just won't work. Listen, people, our Father will take us down paths that we will never foresee. I want to ask you in all honesty this morning, look at where you are now. Think about where you are now. What you are now, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what your life situation is. Could you have predicted it 5 years ago? 10 years ago? I won't say 15 because some of you weren't around 15 years ago. Amen. A lot of us were. Folks, in our wildest imaginations, we can't see ourselves where we are now. And let me say something. You don't know where you'll be in 5 more years. Praise God. I am blessed because I can see where some of you, boy, I know where I want you to be. Folks, I got some folks in here who are just going to be fired up for God in 5 years. I got some folks here who are going to be serving God. Folks, I got pews out here in front of me that are full of people that I've never seen. See, but God will have to do that. That can be my plan, but it would have to be God's plan for it to work. And folks, I won't even begin to guess how He might work. Every time I think I've got Him figured out, He twists something around just so I know I don't have Him figured out. Amen. Folks, our Father will lead us down paths that we can never see. And He will use every single one of them to mold us and shape us into a perfect vessel just for His use. Folks, I don't know what God's got for you. But I know that He knows. And I know that He's never left. And no matter what it is you're dealing with in your life or where you're going, you know, He is the one that's taking you down that trail. He is the one that's walking you down that path. And boy, He's got something He's doing in your life. Flip over to Romans 8. Go there again this morning just to remind ourselves. The work of God in our lives. Romans 8, verse 28. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Folks, God's not confused about what you're going to be when you grow up. Amen? He is moving. You know, the marvelous thing about Him being God, and He is so much beyond what we are, that He can twist and tweak. Think about this for a second. Think how many details there are in your life in any given day. Okay, just consider that. All right. Think how many things are going to happen. How many people you're going to drive by. How many stop signs you're going to stop at. How many traffic lights. How many lines you're going to stand in. How many people you're going to talk to. How many thoughts you're going to run through your head. All of those things. Now, folks, don't even imagine that you can control that. And then picture a God who can. And He could not only control it for my life, but can control it for every single human being on this planet. And the Bible tells me that for every one of His children, He is working in this whole universe to make you what you need to be. God is at work in you. And He is fulfilling His purpose and His plan. Folks, let me ask you something, parents especially. Have you ever let your children experience something uncomfortable or maybe even painful, knowing that they will be better for having experienced it? Huh? I mean, isn't that what child raising is? Knowing how much to allow into their lives at a given time? Isn't God so much like that? And God told us, He promises never to give us more than we can handle or that He can handle with us. And He is using all of those things. The good things, the bad things, the troubles, the trials, all of us to make us just what He wants us to be. You know, God's revealed the way He works in our lives so many times. One of the ones that was just astounding to me, we went, and it was when I was youth director here, which has been a few years ago. Amen. I was a youth director here, Josh. Amen. Don't you know that was fun? Amen. Youth, don't you know that was fun? Amen. I already told you my first Sunday in there. Yes, it was before they were born. Okay. But my first Sunday in there, I got so upset. I slammed a Bible down on the lectern and a songbook jumped off of the lectern and landed in a girl's lap in the front row. And I went to Brother Reinhardt immediately after and said, "Brother Reinhardt, I can't do it. I can't teach that bunch of heathen." He said, "Yes, you can. Get back in there." But folks, one time when we were working here as a youth director, we took a group up to Bill Rice Ranch. It was still there then, okay? No air conditioning, no, I know, you know, okay. But we went. And you know, we had a couple of young people in that group. Extremely gifted. Incredibly gifted. They were piano players. And they were incredibly competitive. And they were inordinately proud. And in all fairness, they were good enough to win, either of them. Okay. But in going up there and getting ready for that competition, I was concerned about that pride and that attitude. And I said, "Lord, I said, it sure would be great if they tied for second." You know they did. Now, I never told them I prayed that prayer. Okay. But that was one of those things that convinced me that God knows and He works and He can do whatever He wants to do. And you know, it was good for those kids. They needed to tie for second. Because by doing it, they were going to learn something about Jesus. About being like Him. Folks, God is so into you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is not going to let up. He's not going to get off your back. He's going to do what He needs to do. You know, knowing those things, why would we be anxious? I mean, how quick do we slip into anxiety, right? Oh, folks, there is no need. There is no need. Can we not draw His peace, His comfort, His joy, knowing that He's doing what He does? And there's not a power in the universe that can change that. You know, James really gives it the hard way, right? James chapter 1 says it this way: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then he goes on and he tells you all the things that are going to come into your life as a result of the trials and troubles that you're experiencing now. And he says you don't just tolerate them with humility, you learn to rejoice in that work. Oh, God, give us that grace that we can see the hard time and we can rejoice in the work that you're doing in our lives. Courtney, those shots are bad. But God's using them. And as a result of that, you're going to be more like Christ when it's over. And my prayer for you is that you can take that shot and rejoice in the work He's doing, even in your discomfort. Folks, that verse in Psalm 37 goes on to say that He delighteth in the way of the righteous. You know, God is pleased by our progress. You know what? Every step that we take, God sees that. He says, "Good, good. You got that one. Keep going." Hey, you know, God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And He looks down at His children and we're struggling and we're fussing and we're fighting and we're wondering and we're worrying. But every now and then we get it and we go forward. And God says, "Yes, go, my son, my daughter, go." Folks, parents, when you see your children do something wise, what does that do for your heart? My brother-in-law has a whole bunch of kids. Five or six? James. Five. He's the oldest one of two twin boys. And one of the things that just sticks in my heart, a few years ago I was sitting across the table having some fellowship with him. He's a preacher, by the way. He said, Brother Tom, I'm so proud of my boys. So they grew up to be godly men. Folks, that's what God feels when we go forward. You know, Spurgeon, who had those terrible bouts of depression, he wrote on this section of Psalms. He wrote a wonderful volume of meditations on the Psalms. Three volumes of this. By the way, you know, Spurgeon never went to seminary or Bible college. And he wrote in his lifetime enough material, it would be longer than the Encyclopedia Britannica if you laid it out in the end. But knowing the suffering that he went through with his depression, by the way, he was in extreme pain a lot of the time, and that probably contributed to his depression. He had terrible gout. But he wrote this about this verse. He said, "All of his course of life," talking about the saints, "is graciously ordained, and in loving kindness all is fixed, settled, and maintained. No reckless fate, no fickle chances rules us. Our every step is the subject of divine decree. He delighteth in His way as parents are pleased with the tottering footsteps of their babes. All that concerns a saint is interesting to His Heavenly Father. God loves to view the holy strivings of a soul pressing forward to the skies in the trials and the joys of the faithful. Jesus has fellowship with them and delights to be their sympathizing companion." Folks, it's interesting as you read about Spurgeon's life and the things that he dealt with. But you know, going back to Psalm 37, I want to bring you back to verse number 24, just the beginning there, where it says this: Though he fall. You know what? Every life includes difficult times. Every single life. You know, when James said, "Count it all joy," he said, "When you fall into verse temptation," not if. Count it all joy when. You know, and some of the things that we fall into, folks, they're going to be big, hard things. You know, there are those things, that the death of a loved one. I've seen, and I want to say, in my 3 years here, almost 3 years, I have watched so many of you pass through so many things. Sometimes it makes me hurt knowing what you're dealing with. Some of them are hard. The death of a loved one. You know, I knew of folks, some folks down in Calhoun, Georgia, that because of the 9/11 accident, he was a pilot and he lost his job. And in losing his job, he lost a house. So they were in the middle of a building because there weren't any pilot's jobs. And ultimately, in the depths of his depression, he committed suicide. And the person I saw was his wife and their children. She was waiting tables in the Cracker Barrel while I was cooking. Folks, those are hard things. But there was a godly woman who had to draw on all the grace that God could give. Folks, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, you know what? You know the hardest thing about divorce? And some of you guys have been there. But the hardest thing about divorce is that you are being rejected by the person who knows you better than anyone else in the world. Can you imagine that pain? To live with somebody for so long and have them turn around and walk out? Folks, it grieves me when I see families break apart. Folks, those are hard, hard things. But you know, sometimes they're not the hardest ones to manage. And you know, you say, Brother Tom, wait a minute. You know, when those things like happen, there's catastrophe and tragedy comes into your life. You know, sometimes just plain old fatigue can wear you out. Illness, frustration. Look at 2 Corinthians 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Verse number 5, Paul says it this way. He said, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." He goes on and says, "Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are," what? "Cast down." Folks, you ever had a time in your life when you just didn't have your A game? For whatever reason. Now I'm going to quote Dr. Ruckman, which is not something you'll hear me do often, okay? But the man has some wisdom. And what he said about the Christian life was very interesting to me, and it stuck in my brain. You know, I read it in one of his books, and it stuck in my head ever since. And he said, the Christian life is like trench warfare. He said, it's not the final open attack that overwhelms you. Anybody can generate enthusiasm for the battle when they're pouring over the wall. He said, what wears you out is the slow, day by day, hour after hour artillery. That bam, 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 on and on and on. That's the thing that'll get you. Folks, you know, the fact is that whether they're large or they're small, they're trials and they're difficulties. Spurgeon said about those trials when he's writing. By the way, I'm going to recommend a book to you. It's called Lectures to My Students by Spurgeon. But he said in that book, he said, "By most painful experience, I know what deep depression of spirit means. Having being visited therewith at seasons by no means few or far between." He warned his students, "Fits of depression come over the most of us. Usually cheerful as we may be, we must at intervals be cast down. The strong are not always vigorous, the wise not always ready, the brave not always courageous, and the joyous not always happy." He said, "Spiritual darkness of any sort is to be avoided and not desired." But he never assumed that a Christian suffering depression must necessarily be in sin. Instead, he said, "I note that some whom I greatly love and esteem, who are, in my judgment, among the very choicest of God's people, nevertheless travel most of the way to heaven by night. Look, that's worth holding on to right there. Folks, that trouble is in every life. Everybody's going to face a difficulty. Everybody's facing trials and problems. And God has allowed those things to come. And then back in Psalm 37, verse number 24, we see this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall. You know, every saint of God is going to experience difficulties in their lives. You know, I'm looking at a group here, and I dare say that there's not a single one of you has passed through this life unscathed by trouble. It just doesn't happen, folks. It's part and parcel of what we are. It's part and parcel of what God has ordained for our development as human beings. And as spiritual beings. God gave us trouble. And like pain, it's a gift. But He says, though he fall, though there be trials and trouble and depression and all those other things, he shall not be utterly cast down. They cannot defeat you as a child of God. No matter how difficult, no matter how tough, no matter how long-lasting the darkness, it cannot defeat the child of God. And the reason it cannot is because He is the one who is holding us up. Look over at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able to make him stand. Flip over to 1 Peter. Another quote along the same lines. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 9. I'm going to read them all because they're just worth reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at that. Where you greatly rejoice, though now you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, the God refining your faith is worth more than pure gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Folks, it's not up to you. It's not up to us. No matter how lousy the day may be or life may seem, it is your Heavenly Father who is holding you in His hands. There is nothing that you will endure, that you will pass through, that you will face in your life, that God has not got you and He's holding you up. He's got His arms around you. He's hugging you. He's holding you. He's supporting you. He's loving you. He's moving heaven and earth on your behalf. Folks, sometimes it's just hard to see. But He never quits. He never gets up. He never gets impatient. And He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Folks, you may fall, but He will not let you fail. And the grace that is sufficient for my salvation will see me all the way to heaven. It's enough. Spurgeon, writing about this verse, said these things. He said, He shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not be altogether prostrate. He shall be brought on his knees, but not on his face. Or if laid prone for a moment, he shall be up again before long. No saint shall fall finally or fatally. Sorrow may bring us to the earth and death may bring us to the grave, but lower we cannot sink. And out of the lowest of all, we shall rise to the highest of all. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Condescendingly, with his own hand, God upholds the saints. He does not leave them to mere delegated agency. He affords personal assistance. Even in our falls, the Lord gives a measure of sustaining. Where grace does not keep from going down, it shall save from keeping down. Job had double wealth at last. Joseph reigned over Egypt. Jonah was safely landed. It is not that the saints are strong or wise or meritorious, that therefore they rise after every fall, but because God is their helper, and therefore none can prevail against them. By one who suffered tremendously throughout his ministry. Psalm 37. And we'll close here this morning. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God orders our steps. There will be trouble in our lives, and he will carry us through every one of them. Christian, don't you despair this morning. Don't you give up. Don't you be anxious this morning. He is not only on the throne, he is with you every day, all day, wherever you go, whatever you pass through. And he gives strength when you have no more. He gives wisdom when you cannot think, and he gives direction when we cannot see. He is our God. He is our Father, and he loves us dearly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you being so good to us, for loving us, caring for us. And Father, there's so many times in our lives when, Lord, truly, we don't even know how to pray. Father, in our despair and our discouragement, Lord, we simply cast ourselves at your feet and say, God, if you can, knowing that you can and that you will. And Father, I pray that you'd encourage your people today. And God, you be with us and help us in the coming week.